Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from our Circuit Rider Experience, which is a seven-month discipleship training school. Hope you enjoy.
So good. Really quick, I want to honor somebody in the room. This is my mom, Christy Brent. Everyone say hi, Christy. So my mom, Christy, and my dad, Brian, they were the ones who founded Circuit Riders. And a bunch of us were a part of that young crew that did it with them. It was such a joy and excitement. So mom will be around the school. She's the prophet to our movement, to so many movements. I'm sure she'll share the story. Basically, if she prays for you, prepare your heart. And if she says something, really prepare your heart. So she's amazing. So I want you to know who she is. Also, we have Matt Nelson this morning. You're going to hear from him this week. Matt, can you stand up so they can see who you are? Can you stand up so they can see who you are? There he is. Everyone say hello to Matt Nelson. So Matt, myself, my wife Emily, Matt's wife Laura, and my mom and Holly Mosman, we all are kind of a senior leadership team for Circuit Riders. So we all love you guys. And hopefully we never have to have a negative conversation with you. It never makes it past Zach in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And did anyone like do a good job introducing Zach? All right, so let me just give you a little zone here, because it's kind of hard to do self-introductions. Zach is incredible. Zach has led, this is his seventh CRX. And Zach really pioneered our expression of DTS here, which is Circuit Rider Experience. But Zach is, not only is he part of the core leadership team, but he literally gives so much leadership, strategy, wisdom, discernment into so many different aspects of our movement. And he's a deep, deep, deep man of revelation. Deep, deep man of revelation, full of humility. His wife, Kayla, she is such a catalytic woman. Did she share it all yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, you got a preview. She's pregnant. Yeah. She's pregnant. She's about to pop. And she 3 weeks away, yeah. And she is a woman of fire. So our deep love and respect for Zach and Kayla is off the charts. Honestly, you are so blessed that you have a man with this deep of a well and a gift of pastoral love, yet a gift of such catalytic breakthrough, walking with all of you. It's amazing. So I'm sure you met a bunch of people. I just wanted to honor a few people before we keep rumbling forward this morning. So good. All right. So I want to make this practical for a moment. I want to share a little bit. I know Zach yesterday shared some aspects of the Circuit Rider encounter and shared some aspects of Circuit Rider history. I want to zoom in a little bit, make it personal for me. This isn't like the canonized history of Circuit Riders in our movement, but I'm going to give you my perspective a little bit of my experience through it, because I think it will help you grab a hold of faith a little bit more and all the principles that we're talking, help you make these personal, all these principles that we're talking about. So you gotta rewind. My pops was a pastor in Tacoma, Washington with my mom. My mom and dad stewarded really mom, how many years do you think our church was in revival? Like it would be like, that's revival. 5 years? Yeah, about 5-ish years. Let's say five, 6 years. Our church was in a state of revival. People flying around the world to come and get prayer at our church. Our church was known for freedom, for setting people free. And literally people would secretly leave their churches because they had so much dysfunction behind the scenes, and they would show up in our church and get prayer from our no-name young worship, no-name young prophetic prayer teams, and they'd get set free. We'd have a line. I don't know if you've seen some of what's been happening on Monday nights, but a line of 100 people lined up to get prayer. That was basically our church service every Saturday, Sunday night, was a line all the way down the aisle of our church and almost sometimes to the door of people waiting to get personal prayer, to get free of real issues. There was an outbreak of evangelism. All the young people in the church decided to live missionally. They all got deeply involved in ministries like Young Life and started really being major forces of evangelism in high schools and middle schools pretty much across our entire city. We were, a bunch of our guys were football coaches and staff. So much started happening. We saw a church birth that was in a really difficult part of the town, a whole ministry ministering to everyone that lived in that part of the city. We had another whole church birth that was just reaching the homeless. It was a church literally for the homeless, resourcing them. So I'm growing up in this atmosphere of revival. I'm growing up, I don't have a backslidden moment. I don't have a season of rebellion as a pastor's kid because I see the real thing from the get-go. It wasn't religion, it was Jesus. It's this phrase I use, I saw too much. I couldn't leave because I've seen too much. I saw too many miracles. I heard from God myself. I got encountered by Him. I saw authentic community. I saw real love. It wasn't a spirit of ministry, it was a spirit of family, and it was incredible and it was deeply marking. So in the middle of all of that, through a series of events, my whole family is all of a sudden interrupted in a moment by two major events. Number one, my dad goes to a conference with Reinhard Bonnke. Everyone say, who knows who Reinhard Bonnke is? He's a major evangelist. He's passed away, on with the Lord now. But in his ministry, he led 80 million people to Jesus. Okay, 80 million people to Jesus. Documented decisions. So that's not raised hands. Those are people who filled out real response cards and were connected to a church. Okay, so the 80 million, all right? So a little bit bigger than my current count. I don't even know what it is. It's not even. I gave up once you hear a number like that. You're like, I'm not counting. I don't even want to know. Right? 80 million people, and my dad's sitting in this little room of like 50 evangelists. He got in through kind of a crazy miracle of being accepted. Lauren Cunningham from YWAM wrote him a letter and got him a special acceptance. He's sitting in the front row, and Reinhard Bonnke walks up to him and says, "You, sir, are in a faithfulness rut." What is he saying? He's meaning you're doing all the right things, but you're in a rut. You've plateaued. And he goes, when was the last time you did something preposterous? He goes, you need to go off of your salary, give up your salary from the church, and live completely by faith. So my dad's just like, oh my word, stunned. Walks over to the little snack area trying to recover. Right, just eating some carrots and ranch, you know, typical kind of conference food, just some crackers. And Reinhard Bonnke's right-hand man walks up to him. No idea of the conversation that just took place after the session with Reinhard. And he goes, excuse me, sir, you're in a faithfulness rut. When's the last time you took a preposterous step of faith? You need to give up. You have a salary? He goes like, yep. You need to give up your salary and live by faith. My dad goes out with my mom and just has a moment of deep travail for souls. Deep moment of travail for souls and just goes, Lord, I don't want to live normal. I don't want to plateau. And this begins to set what I believe the beginning of this journey of a transition for my family. There's many little moments you could point to. We had this guy from YWAM, the one that really stood out to me, a guy from YWAM named Mark Anderson. He comes to our church and he's preaching as a guest speaker. And he stands on the stage and he goes, you know, your pastor Brian, he's a national catalyst and he's not going to be your pastor forever. God's going to soon call him to missions. Did not ask us permission, did not give us that word, but decided to give us that word in front of the whole congregation. Everyone's wide-eyed, including us. We're like, whoa. So long story short, the Lord, through a whole circumstance, says it's time to pass the church to the young guys, and you're supposed to leave everything, and you need to go to YWAM Kona, Kona, Hawaii, and we just want you to be there around that YWAM community. Do a DTS? No, don't do a DTS. What? Okay, don't do a DTS. Join a ministry there? No, don't join a ministry. Just be there. So we moved. There's six of us in our family. We had $1,500 of financial support as a family. We were living in a little condominium up above. It was like a little tiny. We went from a beautiful house on the water to a little tiny apartment with three bedrooms in it that barely had any room. We're all squeezed in everywhere, all six of us. Because our friend was letting us stay there for free. He was a construction worker, so it was a real bachelor pad. You know, it was just nasty furniture, nasty carpet. Thankful for it. I don't think you listen to this podcast, but it was nasty. And we're up there, and we're like, man, this is where all of a sudden we've gone from being in leadership, experiencing revival. Now we're just waiting. We barely have any money. We're in this little tiny house, but man, the joy was so intense in this place. And my dad was just waiting on the Lord and waiting on the Lord and being faithful in prayer and being unfaithful in prayer. And all of a sudden, he goes and he's invited to speak in a DTS called Fire and Fragrance. Andy Bird, who leads Fire and Fragrance, and the Send, he'll be here. He's going to be imparting the school. He's a dear friend of our family. He helped birth Circuit Riders. But my dad and him did not know each other yet. It's kind of our sister school in Kona. We love them so much. And my dad goes in there speaking of DTS just like this, and revival breaks out. Like power of God, multiple hours of travail. The whole room is hit with the Holy Spirit. And the place is, so this friendship bonds because the Holy Spirit moves in this dynamic between Andy Bird and my dad. Then, in the midst of this, Zach shared yesterday, there's this woman named Amy Ward. Is she coming as well? Yeah. Amy's coming as well. She has this powerful angelic visitation. Can you believe that happens today? I can barely believe it. It's so crazy. She's in her bed. She wakes up, and she sees an angel at the foot of her bed dressed in colonial clothes and says, "It's the Circuit Riders basically are coming back. I'm raising them up. They're going to carry messages of revolution unto reformation." She sees a vision of fiery lines crisscrossing all of America, then jumping into Europe, then jumping into the rest of the world. And then she sees a vision of the statue of Paul Revere. And then bam, the vision's over. She's totally freaked out. I mean, how do you share that, right? How do you go to your buddy and go, "Hey, last night, an angel showed up in my room"? You're going to sound crazy, right? You're going to be that guy, like, oh, sure, buddy. And then to make it even worse, you're like, "And he was dressed in colonial clothes." Really, Jonathan, that's really powerful. That's right. You go like, "Dude, Jonathan was having too much pizza last night. We got a crazy guy at our..." No. So my dad's deeply humble man. And he goes, "You know what? This is serious. We need to test this word." And they go into a season of praying and fasting. They had no idea who the Circuit Riders even were in history. Never even heard the name. They start looking it up, realizing that these Circuit Riders were this major force in American history, and were all these young men and women who were not trained in seminaries, but were sent out to preach the gospel all across America. They were some of the first abolitionists in history, and they carry this radical gospel message. And so we're going, "Whoa, I think this is Jesus. Let's test the word one more step. Let's run a school this summer, 5 weeks long, and we'll call it School of the Circuit Rider." Now, we made this goofy website. I don't know if you've seen it. You can find it on Google Images somewhere. Really scary logo. It's like Western, literally Western font. Circuit Riders with like a sad horse as the logo. We had a really scary video of like thunder and lightning in it with the Rick Pino song and all about dying. Do we have that video? Can someone get that video? I don't know if we can. We should watch it if we can. And we put this thing on YouTube. I remember, I think we got 600 views on the video, and we thought, like, dude, this is a movement. Like, it was the biggest deal. 600 views. We couldn't believe it. We're like, what is happening? God is moving. God is doing something. And out of nowhere, though, when we get to the actual day of the school, 300 students had showed up. And our exact prayer was, "God, give us a sign. Give us a Gideon's 300 if you're really doing this." And on the day of the school, 300 students arrive. Now, initially, it's YWAM Youth and Mission, which is primarily focused on the nations. And so we want to send out all these people to different nations. And we literally started the school with everyone getting up saying, "I want to go to this nation. I'm going to go to this nation. We're going to go here. We're going to go here. We're going to go here." But 2-3 weeks into the school, the power of God had broken out so heavily in people's private lives that they all were hearing, "The Lord isn't sending us yet to the nations. The Lord is sending us to America. There's going to be another great revival and ascending movement that's going to send so many more people to nations than if we go ourselves right now. But if we would go and lean into what God is doing in America, we're going to see hundreds of thousands of people mobilized into the mission field, and millions of people come to know Jesus. A new Jesus movement, a new student volunteer missions movement, a new wave of sending." So we cancel all of our outreaches to the nations, I think except one or two, and we decide to go on outreach here in Huntington Beach. A few people go to Washington, D.C., and a few teams go up to Alaska. But our primary team, 200 of us, come here to Huntington Beach. Now, my family, we had already had some hints that the Lord was going to use us. This is how wild my parents are. Everyone say, "Hi, Mama Christie." "Hi, Mama Christie." "You're very wild." She saw a picture of oranges and that the Lord wanted to use us where the oranges grow. And we knew that this was Orange County was probably the fulfillment of that word. So my parents, based on that word, decide we are buying one-way tickets as a family and we are moving to Orange County. That is the next place God is bringing on our missionary journey. So we show up to Huntington Beach for our two-week outreach, and the Lord starts providing. We start doing grassroots evangelism everywhere. I'm literally sleeping in a nursery. My dad is staying in a Best Western. Like, we're sleeping on church grounds. Our shower is a hose out there in the alley. I mean, it's a wild outreach. But people keep getting saved everywhere as we preach the gospel. Literally, we have guys getting up on buses, basically holding you have it? Okay, we got to watch this really quick. I want you to see how wild this is. All right, check it real quick. That's fine with me. Oh, keep going. All right, I'll just stop when it starts working. So they would get on buses and they would say, hey man, bus driver man, can I share something with the whole bus? And they'd be like, sure. And they would get up and they would straight up preach Billy Graham style messages with altar calls on the bus. God is doing this, he's doing this, he's doing this, he wants to meet you, it's my testimony, he's doing this, 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 this. How many of you want to get saved right now? Raise your hand right now. Lead the whole bus in prayer like it was their captive audience. We had people on the beaches, seeing people come to Christ left and right, and we were like, man, I thought the harvest was not ripe in America, it looks like it is. We start seeing so much breakout on these outreaches that the stories are ridiculous. We have a guy who goes onto the pier and sharing the gospel with a guy fishing, and the guy is mocking him, saying, I don't believe in your God. If your God's real, pray that I catch a fish. Can you guys hear me still?
Yeah.
Oh. And pray that God catch a fish. He goes, well, I'll pray for you. He puts his hand on him. Here we go. He puts his hand and says, Lord, I pray you catch a fish. As he says, when he catch a fish, the guy's rod starts going crazy, and he catches the biggest fish of the whole day, turns to him and says, your God is real. How do I get saved? I mean, these are the kind of stories. We walk into a Hilton down here on the beach. It's still down. They don't have the wedding tent. They had a wedding tent. We walk in there and said, can we rent your wedding tent to do revival services? Number one, they say yes. Number two, though, someone's walking by and overhears and says, I'll pay for that. For 2 weeks, we're doing revival services, sharing the whole gospel on the day, doing revival service at night. People are getting saved, and we're realizing that we're stumbling into a movement. Stephanie Menz is back there. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Steph.
You got saved in the tent.
Day two.
Day two. How cool is that? Make it real for you for a moment, right? And we go, oh, my word, the Lord is doing everything he said in the vision. We start hosting these training schools. We moved to Orange County. We're all living here in a community house, and we start doing these schools all over America. And we start seeing people get saved in every part of America. I mean, it's crazy. One summer, for every minute of outreach we did, somebody got saved. And even more people got physically healed. We went to a mall one time, and in a span of 2 hours, 60 people gave their life to Christ at a mall in Los Angeles.
Come on.
And they got so radically saved, some of our guys didn't know the rules, and they were baptizing people in the fountain. And the security asked them not to do it and said, hey, please don't do that, but I'm a Christian, I love that, but don't do that anymore, please, I need you to stop doing that. I mean, this is the kind of wildness of evangelism that's taking place. So meanwhile, let's zoom back in. What's happening with Nick? Right before the Circuit Rider School, the first one in Kona, I'm in my first year of college. God had miraculously provided, gave me a full ride scholarship. It was an incredible situation. I was at a local college here, a Christian college in California. And I'm at the end of the year, and I have this dream where basically I'm about to be swallowed by a whale. Now, those of you that may not have the gift of interpretation like I don't, I knew it was a Jonah dream. That I was like, Lord, what are you saying? And the Lord said, if you continue here, you will be in rebellion. You know I called you to something greater than just this. I told you you're called to be an evangelist. It's not for later, Nick. It's for now. See, the next year I was slated to run all the discipleship for the entire 3,000-4,000 person school. for all the student body already as a sophomore. And the Lord said, if you continue in that, you'll be running away from me and the new thing I'm asking you to do. So I remember I went to a lady, it was a private scholarship, it was a lady who specifically gave scholarships to this school. And I go to her, I call her, it was so awkward. And I was like, hey, I'm so thankful for the scholarship. I know you love the school and it's been a wonderful time, but the Lord has spoken to me that I'm supposed to leave school. I'm gonna do school online through a different university that offers that. And I have to pursue being an evangelist for my generation right now. And she goes on the phone, she goes, Nick, this is so crazy. The Lord told me you were gonna call me. And the Lord told me you were gonna tell me something that would not make sense to me, but I was supposed to continue to help you. I believe this is God. I will pay for your online school and I'll give you a little extra to start your life as a missionary. I leave school and the summer I come back to Kona, guess what time it is? It's the first Circuit Rider school. I get drafted into this thing right from the very beginning. Then I come to Huntington Beach with the family and we would have all these different things they were doing in the summer. That's when the summer schools, but we had no idea what to do in the year. We just knew that we did summer training schools, but we didn't know how to be a circuit rider every day of the year, like outside of training events, besides just going out and sharing the gospel. And that's fun, but you can't do that as a full-time job, just every day, 9 a.m., just walk out, street evangelism from 9 to 5. You need some other things. You need some other strategies. You need something a little bit long-term to help you. You need some movement, something to build on. And so I remember I was doing online school. We had moved here, and I was having a complaining fest. How many ever had a complainer meltdown? And you're complaining to someone, but you're really not talking to them, you're talking to God. How many have had that moment? You're complaining to Johnny, but you're really complaining to God, right? How many of you have had that moment? And I'm in my garage with my pops, and I said, Dad, I gave up my full ride. I went to Kona. I went here. I said yes to being an evangelist, and I'm so bored out of my mind. I don't know what to do. I don't know what God's calling me to do. I have no influence. I don't know where I'm going. I have no vision. I have no purpose. I'm totally failing. What am I doing all day? I'm just sitting here on my computer doing online school and waiting for God to do something. Uh-oh, wrong sentence. My dad looks at me and he says, Nick, you can do anything that God is saying for you to do right now. What is he asking you to do? And I had heard that. I'd heard that in messages. I'd heard that in all the different things. But for some reason, it was like time stood still in that moment. And I realized I did know what to do. I had unbelief and I was afraid to do it. Wow. See, what I had been doing in the meantime during the day is I had been getting in the car with my few buddies and we had been driving to university campuses all around California, talking to random people. Oh, you guys can give up on the video. It's okay. Just give up on it. We'll put it in the Discord. I have been driving around and I had walked upon this one school, the University of Southern California, USC. And the Lord said, I want you to do an evangelistic gathering here. I want you to do a music festival here. But I just kind of blew past that because the biggest gathering I'd ever done was like a 15-person Bible study with my soccer team. I wasn't a good speaker. I didn't know how to organize events. I didn't know any bands. I didn't have any money. I didn't even know somebody at the school. But in that moment in the garage, I realized that my crazy, preposterous step of faith was to meet Jesus saying yes to doing this event at this school. So I tell Dad the vision out loud. I get so excited. When you get in alignment with Jesus back in faith, joy is always a fruit. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, yo, we're doing this. I'm not bored anymore. This is crazy. We're going to do a music festival. You ever get like stoked and you're like, we're going to do this. And you're going crazy, running around. I get real animated when I get excited. I'm just like, we're doing this thing. And then I start announcing it to everyone. We're going to do a music festival at USC, you know, on our training schools. I'm like, we're doing a music festival at USC. Major mistake because now I can't back out. I've announced to everybody. How many of you are announcers? You tell everyone what you're going to do. And you're like, oh man, now I have to do it. How many of you are wiser and you don't want to tell anyone because then you know you have to do it? All right, so I told everyone, now I have to do this thing. And I'm like, but Lord, I don't know anyone. All of a sudden, the Lord provides through a family friend, a football player, and I go up to meet with him. He's part of the USC Trojans, and I'm meeting with him, and the meeting's kind of going good. And he's like, but hey, I'm graduating. I got senioritis. I'm out. I can point you to someone I know, but I don't want to help you organize the event. Totally discouraged. I'm like, oh, man. Go to the next meeting with this other guy next week. Hey man, share the vision for everything God's doing on the campus. We have a hard one to do a music festival. This would be amazing. The guy goes, just total distrust towards me, doesn't know who I am, zero interest in partnering together. I get really intense in the meeting. So I get kind of mad that he doesn't want to do evangelism. And I go, don't you care about all the people going to hell on your campus? Didn't help the meeting, got way more intense. I don't think we became better friends than that. Rescue it by the end of the meeting and just go, hey, let's just meet again, just keep talking about it. So to my last meeting, it's the only guy I know on the whole campus. He doesn't like me. I kind of hurt his feelings last time. And I don't think he wants to pardon me. I'm walking there. I got myself all pumped up. I think I listened to T.D. Jakes on the way up there with my buddies in the car, right? Podcast life, very important. And I was just so stoked on Jesus. And we were staying in the middle of campus. We got there early, waiting for the meeting to start. I'm just going on and on with my buddy about how stoked I'm on Jesus. And all of a sudden, this girl walks up to me. And she goes, hey, are you a Christian? I go, yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? She goes, yeah. She goes, I lead a house of prayer on the campus. And I'm like, no way. I would love to come to your house of prayer and get to know you guys. So we exchange information. I'm so stoked. I go to the meeting. It doesn't go good. But I'm excited. Like, 2 nights later, this house of prayer meeting is. So I go to the house of prayer meeting. I'm so excited. I'm looking like, I'm like, hey, where's, you know, what building it is? And I see the building. I'm like, oh, this is a big building. I bet there's a lot of on fire students. I walk in the building. This is amazing. And I'm passing all the big classrooms. And I'm like looking at them like they're empty. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm walking towards like down the hall and the rooms are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I'm like, house of prayer. I'm thinking like kind of an upper room. I'm thinking like International House of Prayer, IHOP. I'm thinking like all these burning on fire charismatic students want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And I open the door and it's like a closet room as big as that closet room in there. If you look in how big that is. And it's six people, a faculty member and five students. And one of the dudes is laid out soaking, but he's just napping, like just straight up napping. And this girl I met is just faithfully playing the guitar. She's a pastor today. She's amazing. She's playing the guitar. She had like four open bar chords. And we would just sing three or four songs over and over again, the same songs, and just worship and pray and worship and pray. And I start, after the prayer meeting's over, we start kind of talking a little bit. And she goes, Nick, is there anything you want to share with our crew? And I felt the Lord, I'm kind of like in my mind, like, Lord, is this people you want me to share the vision with? Like, and the Lord's like, share. So I go, I want to see a music festival. We want to run out McCarthy Quad. It's right in the middle of campus. We want to share the gospel with everyone. We want every student at USC to know Jesus loves them. We want to see revival. And all of a sudden, Jackie was her name. Jackie goes, this is crazy, Nick. The Lord told me to go stand in the middle of campus on a certain day at a certain time. And I had no idea. I was standing out there that day when I met you, waiting for what God wanted me to do. I thought I was crazy. I didn't even know if I was hearing from God. Now I know why God made me wait. It was to meet you. We're supposed to do this together. Yo, this is getting wild now. I started finding out these students, there's only six of them, but they were radical. They would do 60-hour prayer burns where they would take turns staying awake, praying for revival on their school, like a prayer chain. I'm not talking about like a cool prayer room. I'm talking, these guys are like prayer warriors, fasting for revival on their campus. They were crazy. They would invite other campuses to come to their university, and they would grab a guitar and djembes and drums, and they would prayer march through all the areas of their campus, singing worship songs, like 100 people. Like, I don't know, like extreme prayer walking. I don't know what that is. But I mean, these guys were wild in prayer. Yeah. And so then I start trying to go to all the other clubs. Like, all right, we rented the field and we got all this stuff. And it's a miracle after miracle. God's providing. And now I start going to all the other Christian clubs. It was like, no, we don't want to partner with you. No, we don't want to partner with you. No, we don't want to partner with you. No, we don't know who you are. We don't know what you're doing. We don't want to be part of your evangelist deal. And the one crew, the one club who did, which was InterVarsity, shout out InterVarsity, we love them. Yeah, they go, we would love to, but we're on retreat. Okay, so I was like, oh, man, like, is anybody going to come to this thing? Then we have to start putting together the marketing, and Jackie calls me. She's like, I'm in the events office right now. We need a name right now. And I had just saw like a business conference poster that said launch on it. And I was looking at it just like an hour before. And I was like, Launch Fest. Let's call it Launch Fest. Totally non-prophetic name. I call my buddy. I ask him to make us a flyer. He makes us this goofy flyer with the NASA space shuttle on it. And we just start going to town. We didn't even put names on it. We didn't put band names on it. We didn't have any bands. We didn't know who was coming. We were advertising for an empty field at this point. We had no money to buy speakers. We had no money to have a stage. We had nothing, and we had no bands coming. So we put new people, new music, and we said, man, it's a surprise concert. I can't tell you who's going to be there, but it's going to be big. And we literally would sleep on the ground in dorm floors. We'd be passing this thing out like crazy. And one by one, the Lord starts providing different people who end up coming and doing concerts. One of them was a guy named Charles Jones. He plays with Wolfpack now, actually. And at the time, I think he was singing backup to Jennifer Hudson. And Lindy met him in a coffee shop and starts sharing the heart we're going to do at USC. He starts bawling in the middle of the Starbucks and says, I was a student at USC. And the place that you're asking me to do a concert was the place I would go out at night to pray for revival for my campus as a student. This is God. I don't want any money. Just get me a green tea latte and a keyboard and I'm ready to roll. So miraculous thing after miraculous thing. We had been praying that a guy named Michael Ketter would come from United Pursuit Band and do the final night with Lindy. And we just had no final band. I think it was 3 weeks before Lindy goes and does a gathering in Kona. And guess who the guest worship leader is? Michael Ketter. And I'm like, Lindy, you gotta ask. Come on, Lindy, ask. Lindy, come on, do it. And so she goes, I'll ask. She asks, and he goes, no way. Actually, my whole band is in town that weekend, and we'll have just finished in the studio. We have nothing planned that day. Yeah, we'll just come play. We'll come play for free. You just buy me a plane ticket to come out. The Lord provides, in a matter of weeks, all the bands. Okay, now we get to the actual event. We're coming towards the event. And something crazy happens. We put a NASA space shuttle on our flyer. Well, next to USC's campus is a space museum. And I didn't know that a few weeks before that, they were gonna retire the space shuttle Endeavour into that museum. So they flew to park it over there. They flew on a plane, the space shuttle on top of a plane, low over the campus. It begins to go viral on Twitter, viral on Facebook, everyone's posting on Instagram. And now our little goofy event that we've been advertising for weeks before that and no one knows the space shuttle is gonna fly over, all of a sudden looks like we're a legit event with inside information about when NASA space shuttles are gonna fly over the campus. We went from marketing doofuses to PR geniuses and everyone starts paying attention to our goofy launch fest gathering. First day of concerts come, Charles Jones sits down, and I'm like, hey, you know, maybe play some secular music, draw a crowd. You know, we want to try to get as many people to come to the gospel event. And he's like, hey, I didn't listen to me at all. Sat down and started seeing how he loves us. And doing these vocal runs that were like so butterlicious, it was insane. People are gathering around. People are crying. People are breaking down in the presence of God. The school television station comes out. The school paper comes out. And all of a sudden, they like want to interview. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, we're doing Launch Fest because we want everyone to know that Jesus loves them and wants a personal relationship with them on this campus. And we start doing these concert after concert in the middle of campus. All these people are walking by. The football kicker walks up and goes, what is this? Tweets it out to 10,000 people, says, come to this gathering called Launch Fest on Friday. And then things get real crazy. All of a sudden, last moment, they're dear friends now, but they were new friends at the time. Their son, Matt Barkley, was the quarterback of the USC Trojans. Had never met us, did not know us. And says, he's gonna post about your gathering. Well, if you know anything about USC and football, like that's it. Everybody falls, Matt Barkley and what he's doing. And he goes, I'm coming to Launch Fest, who's joining me there? Then it gets crazier. Something bad happens on the Greek row. They shut down all the parties for the weekend so no one can party. Then there's major construction on the freeway, so nobody wants to leave because there's so much traffic to leave. Faith, God can, God will, God does. So I'm coming to the night. We are so afraid that anyone's going to show up. We think it's around 1,000. We don't know. It's more legendary at this point. We didn't know how to count. We were so excited we didn't count. We just so many people. Filled up half this field. We get there the night of. And it's a hot mess. We don't even know. Speaker, band's barely prepared. We didn't have enough. They get there and the band goes, we only have 20 minutes of music that's not intense worship music. And I was like, it is a music festival. Like they're expecting some music. So I literally go on SoundCloud to a friend of a friend's DJ account. And I thought, I was pretty sure he had recently gotten saved. I clicked one of his DJ sets, downloaded it, picked my friend who most looked like a DJ, told him that you're gonna go up there and I'm gonna announce you as a DJ, you're gonna push play on iTunes,
and we put a soundboard up there for him to just do stuff to act like he was DJ. Oh my God. True story. So he goes up there. I'm like, DJ Shenanigans is in the house tonight. It's true. We push play, and he's doing like he's acting like he's DJing for 20 minutes. Lou, we have a hype man get up all of a sudden trying to hype everybody. Like, come on, DJ, go to the drop. And poor my buddy Jack Tong, he has no control over what's happening. So he's just like, it's getting crazy at this point. We had a guy who recently gotten saved out of rave culture. All of a sudden, he's busting out those like LED balls on string and chain. He's like just going crazy. Like it's turning into a madhouse. I'm like, what is happening right now? We get to the end of that. It's hilarious. He gets down. The school newspaper loved it. They go, man, DJ Shenanigans, can I get an interview with you real quick? He's like, I don't do interviews, and walks away. I always love that. The band gets up there. They mess up three times. They can't get the Ableton live loops to work in the moment. So I'm like, now I'm really starting like, Lord, you brought me all this way to fail now. Like I'm like pacing the back of the field, like losing my salvation. Like, Lord, Lord, you said, I thought God can, God will, God does. Right now it looks like God is burning it down. Like this is not going good. Spencer, my brother, I don't know if he's here this morning. He starts playing his beat on the drums. Lindy goes into the spontaneous chorus that she wrote during a circuit rider school that my dad goes, he made all the musicians goes up. This is crazy. He said, one day you'll be on a field and there'll be a bunch of unbelievers and they won't want your worship music. You're gonna write a song right now that the lost would love to sing. And they wrote a song in that moment live on the stage. That's the song she starts literally singing in the moment. Everyone starts going crazy, starts singing this whole thing. Then my dad, I'm gonna introduce my dad to preach the gospel. It was the most awkward like introduction ever. I tried to do it like Hillsong did it once. When I went to a United concert. They're like, the band manager has a few words to say to everyone. Then it's like an evangelist that gets up, you know, and preaches the gospel. So I was like, the band manager's here tonight. He's gonna share. My dad gets up, totally awkward. And all of a sudden I go, man, once he talks about Jesus, this is over. People are gonna start walking away. They're gonna get that this is a really Christian thing. And he goes, how many of you have been misunderstood? In this Los Angeles, people don't like being, reputation is very important in Los Angeles. So people hate that feeling of being misunderstood. And he goes, and what about when someone said something about you and there's nothing you can do to get people to believe it's not true? And he goes, I want to tell you that I believe many of you tonight that you have misunderstood Jesus. And I want to tell you who he really is. People were coming, going, and during the worship music, but nobody moved during the message. And my dad preaches the full gospel on this field. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about eternal separation from Jesus. I'm talking about the full meal deal, the love of God. He gives an altar call. 150 people give their life to Jesus. Bam, right there. All of a sudden, my mom gets up to pray for healing while you were still sick with an incurable disease. Just think about that right there. That'll mess with your mind. She gets up there and prays for healing. Every single person who was sick in that crowd that we know of was immediately healed that night, including a woman who overheard the prayer that was in the parking lot with a busted foot. Her foot just got healed from just hearing the echo of the prayer reverberating down the parking garage. How wild is this? So we're walking away from this night like just literally cannot believe what God just did. And we start getting calls from all this girl, Jackie, her whole network of different prayer people on different campuses. And they start saying, hey, come to my campus and do evangelism. Come to my campus and come do evangelism. And we're like, we don't know. We would just really say, we don't know how to replicate what we just did. We don't know how to do that again. We had a lot of miracles. We don't know how to replicate those kind of miracles, but we'll come and partner with you and share the gospel. Shortly after that, we're doing literally looking for a venue at UCLA by faith with not one student partner. My friend Sammy walks up to a young man and says, hey, do you know where a good venue to gather people on here is? And he goes, yeah, there's a couple different areas. And he had a sense that he was a Christian. And goes, because we want to see people come to know Jesus. And the guy says, why else will we be here? He goes, they exchange numbers. He goes, man, he comes back to share like, dude, we got a student contact. Well, he's walking back to the car. He looks up on the side of a building. He sees a huge Nike UCLA advertisement. And he realized the person he was talking about was the running back for the UCLA Bruins and was the number one running back in college football at the time. His name was Jonathan Franklin. All of a sudden, Jonathan Franklin gathers all the Christian clubs. Similar event takes place at UCLA. Now God's really rumbling. Students are getting faith for their campus to be saved. And we start getting invites from all around California, all the way from down, all the way up. We see this crazy gathering, over 1,000 kids gathered at UC Berkeley, literally on the steps where the sexual revolution really began and went across the nation. And people are coming to Christ, radically walking by, getting saved at, you know, the places you think that nobody wants Jesus. And it leads to us going to place after place after place after place. So all of a sudden, it leads us to our first time doing a tour, which was a statewide tour that we called March to May Day, because we started in March, we ended on May Day. Aren't we cool? And I remember we were marching down the state. We literally were going to school after school after school, and we come to this university, UC Davis, and the students there had dropped the ball on mobilization. And I can just go like this. Drop the ball on mobilization. So they are really afraid that no one was going to come to the gathering. They said, I didn't really share. We didn't really do what you asked to do. We're so sorry. And we're like, it's okay. We'll just preach to whoever comes tonight. But these students, kind of convicted that they hadn't mobilized right, went into the closet in this room of like maybe a theater for 250 students, and they start travailing in prayer for their campus. And I mean, it's uncomfortable. These students are in the back room wailing before God that their campus would be saved. Campus security comes in the room during our deal, and they're hearing people wailing in like the back room over there. And we're like, hey, we're so sorry. I don't know what's happening. They're fine. They're just praying. They're totally fine. And the campus security guard, he goes, I know them. They're the prayer people. Yeah, they do this. This happens. So I was like, oh, wow, all right. I'm like, man, what do we have in store for us? The night comes. Out of nowhere, with barely any mobilization, more students come than can fit in the room. We break the fire code. We have to literally turn people away. And from minute one of the worship that night, it was like the presence of God was there. Just bam, in the room. Something is breaking through. My friend Sam Rodriguez, he'll be around the school this year. One of our founders here, Circle Riders and Carry to Love. He's starts preaching this gospel on the love of God, and he would preach it first, and I would come do kind of a little activation message. In the end of the night, I'm coming to close the night, and I hear the Lord say, go up there and make the room repeat Carry to Love 3 times. And I was like, Lord, what more? Tell me more. Tell me more. That's good. That's kind of a cool phrase. Tell me more. Tell me more. Nothing. 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 All of a sudden, Sammy's like, and Nick will come up. And I'm walking up there like, Lord, what am I going to say? I have literally 17 seconds of content. And I'd say, everyone, lift your voice. We're all going to say Carry to Love out loud 3 times. Carry to Love. Carry to Love. Carry to Love. And the Spirit, boom, descends in the room so powerfully. And I said, I think sometimes love looks a lot more like hard work than we would like to admit. We're all dreaming of seeing a campus come into revival, but we won't share the gospel with who we live with. We won't build relationships with those in our dorms. If we want to see revival, it starts with loving the person in front of us, like on this whole thing. And it goes in this crazy response of we're going to carry to love, and we're going to see our university saved, and we're going to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, Jesus, this is crazy. My friend preaches it at Stanford, and it blows up at Stanford, this message of carry to love. And one thing leads to another, and we go, I think this is like not just an event name, like this is a message for a generation. We start organizing these gatherings, and all of a sudden our friends start reaching out across the nation, and we go from a bored group of friends in a garage to one breakthrough, to two breakthroughs, to 10 breakthroughs, now to this Carry to Love thing. In our first year, we had 60 campuses across America. Then we did 120 across America. Then we did 300 across America. And now today, we do 500 to 600 universities a year in America, in Europe, and East Africa. Okay, everyone say faith.
Faith.
If you would have asked me then, if I ever believed my yes would be what I'm doing now, I would have said no. If I would have ever, ever thought that we would have had success even at USC, even though we were doing it, like in my best moments, I believe that God can maybe use us. But it was in those moments is where your faith gets deeply tested. It is in those moments that God comes and proves to you to show you how he's going to use you in your life. And here's my question for you. Yes, you moved across America, and I'm stoked you're here. Welcome. Yes, you said I want to do DTS and Circle Riders Experience. So glad you're doing it. And that's an amazing step of faith. But my question for you is, what is that preposterous step of faith that God is getting ready and preparing you for? Is your heart truly open to the sentences that God wants to say about your future? Can God be himself when he's talking with you? Or do we make him dumb himself down to tell us things that make sense to us right now? Does God want to, just like me, meet you in your room when you just thought you were going to be a discipleship leader, and he's saying you're going to be an evangelist for your generation? Are you willing to hear those sentences, and are you willing to begin to act on those sentences? Because I'm telling you, I never believed my yes would lead to a bunch of the things I get to be a part of. I never thought my friends' yeses would lead to the life we're a part of. I never thought my parents' yes would lead to the life that we're all a part of, but they did. But they did. I never thought Zach's yes would lead to this room with all of you, but it did. See, God needs a simple yes and simple steps of obedience, and he's going to give it to you just like our brother said, one step at a time. He's not going to give you a blueprint. He's not going to give you a 10-year strategy. He just says, I need a yes, I need a step today, and here it is. He needs an immediate in your spirit yes to his steps of obedience. It's that implicit trust in what he's saying. Move, move, move. Move, move. You're in your house. Pray for him tonight. Okay. Gather your house. Go on a day of fasting. Okay. On that campus, go talk to those two people. Okay. Follow up with them and ask Zach if you can go back and do a Bible study. Okay. Stand up right now and preach in the cafeteria. Okay. Go get time with those four people and ask how they're really doing. Okay. And you don't realize that all those steps is stepping you to the life that God promised you would have. Because all of a sudden, it's going to be next year. Maybe you're on staff and God's like, hey, I want you to go open up those 10 universities and unite them for an evangelistic outcome. And you're like, oh, I can't do it. And the Lord's like, step. Okay, I can do it. Step. I know my step is, I get on a plane. I got to go to the campus. I'm going to go to the campus. I'm going to start meeting with people. I'm going to get on phone calls. I'm going to do. Right, all of a sudden, God's like, apply for that internship. No, Lord, that company will never work with me. Apply for the internship. Post that video. Release that song. Step, 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 step. And all of a sudden, you look back 10 years and you go, whoa, look how far what God has done with my little steps. How he has partnered with my little acts of obedience. See, the life that goes on to impact more is that life that gets comfortable with bigger and bigger steps. Think about Andy Bird steps right now. Rent those arenas. But he learned to rent those arenas in his DTS when the Lord said, pray for that person next to you. He learned those how to step when he said, go and share the gospel in that foreign country. He learned that, hey, you don't have enough money, put on your Instagram and pray for 24 hours that God would provide and call these two people. He learned that God provides for a stadium because he provided first for him. Step, step. Step. Before you can believe that God will show up for a room, how about start believing that God will show up for you tomorrow morning? Before you believe you're going to lead a whole generation to Christ, how about lead that guy on the bench over there that looks lonely and covered in depression to Christ? Step. 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 And see, sometimes as young people, we're like, Lord, we want the big thing. We want the big thing. What is it? You said I'm going to do this. He's like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's where you're going, but I need you to step right now. I need you to step right now because it's not really about what you're about to do in this season. It's about who you're about to become. Yes, we're going to see tons of people saved. Yes, we're going to see outbreaks of revival on university and high school campuses. I believe that with all my heart. I think we will see it. I think we will see profound healings. I think we will see profound things on our Monday nights in our greenhouses, in our outreaches here this fall, way before outreaches. The Lord's going to meet us in deep ways that we cannot believe. He will do that. He will do that. I'm telling you, he will do that. But he's doing all this even more for the response of our heart, to shape our inner life, to build our character, to make us more like him, and to prepare us to step. I'm imagining the moment right now. I'm seeing you literally. You're married. Two kids, you got a great job, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, you start uncontrollably crying in your little apartment, and the Lord said, remember when I said you're going to be a pastor in CRX? Now's the time. And you're going to start weeping and weeping and weeping, but you're going to know what to do. Lord, what's my next step? Step. Meet with those 10 people, invite them over for dinner. Step, 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 and you're going to be 45 sitting there with a congregation of 2,000 people burning on fire, impacting your city because you learned how to take a step of faith and respond to the Bible, the Word of God, and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can we all stand together? Bryce, you want to come up here for a moment? We're just going to pray for a second here. We're going to end right at 1. I know I'm going, or we're ending 10 minutes, sorry. So we can have 10 minutes to leave and give you a break before tracks. I know I'm going over time today, but we got to pray for 10 minutes because if we don't grab this, we're not, why are we here? No reason to build on anything else if we're not grabbing this today. I know we got, dude, you're probably getting, dude, it's a fire hose. You're getting, I'm just like literally uncorking so much information on you, but we all need this today. Even if you don't remember everything I'm going to say, just remember it spiritually for a moment. Just receive it by faith. Here we go. I need everyone to close your eyes right now. Put your attention on Jesus. I need you to repeat after me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I repent.
I repent.
For all unbelief.
For all unbelief.
For every way.
For every way.
I've been arguing.
I've been arguing.
I've been fighting.
I've been fighting.
I've been resistant.
I've been resistant.
To what you want to say to me.
Forgive me, Jesus.
For every way.
I have boxed myself in.
I have put a little box on my life.
Of who I am.
And who I'm supposed to become. So right now, you're going to erase the whiteboard right now. You're erasing the whiteboard. You're breaking the box. And you're saying, Lord, I'm giving you permission this week to speak afresh of who I am and who I'm becoming. Say it with me,
in Jesus' name.
I smash this box.
With great joy.
I erase the whiteboard.
In the name of Jesus.
I say Jesus.
I surrender fully to you.
I want to have big faith.
Baptize me with faith.
Root out. All unbelief. Because unbelief has been stealing. It's been stealing. It's been stealing. Has been stealing. Has been stealing. Has been stealing. Has been stealing so much. Has been stealing so much. And faith is what's going to return it. It's been a bully right here. We're getting rid of the bully. Day 2. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Come on. It's a bully. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I take authority. Over the bully. Of unbelief.
You lie to me.
You lie about my future.
You lie about who I am.
Get out.
Get out.
In Jesus' name.
I declare.
I'm a man or woman. Of faith. God can.
God will.
God does.
So here it is. I'm going to pray for a moment. I just believe the Holy Spirit's going
to
move.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.